Now it's time for our first feature. This is our local regular history spot brought to you by Richard Matthew, who has written and will read his article, Harry Daniels, VC, MC, was an interesting and courageous local man.
An article in the Norfolk Magazine of November 2024 paints a vivid picture of the life of Harry Daniels, who seems to have been a bit of a rebel and a free spirit. Perhaps it was those qualities which, after a difficult early life, led to his remarkable career and the award of the Victoria Cross and the Military Cross in the First World War. He was born in 1884, the son of a Wyndham baker, one, it's believed, of 16 children. One parent died when Harry was 4, the other when he was 6, at which age Harry became the responsibility of the Norwich Board of Guardians, and went with one of his brothers to live in their home in St Faith's Lane in Norwich. His nickname there was Spitfire, which perhaps gives an early indication of his brave and energetic character. But Harry was not happy there, and he ran away twice. The first time he was found within a few days. The second time he planned his departure more carefully, made it to Yarmouth, got a job as a cabin boy on a fishing vessel, and was on the loose for several months. After leaving school, he was apprenticed to a carpenter, but had a thirst for adventure and left to join up in the Rifle Brigade at the age of 19. After training, he was stationed initially in India, where he was involved with everything as a musician in the band and apparently as a star in the battalion's drama club. But sport was perhaps what he enjoyed most, and he was an accomplished boxer and regimental champion. While in India, he met and married Kathleen Perry, the daughter of a warrant officer. By then, he was himself a sergeant. Some 9 months after the wedding, in September 1914, they sailed back to England when the war was already 6 weeks old. He sailed for France in November, and was promoted to Company Sergeant Major within a few weeks. On March the 12th, 1915, his battalion was engaged in the Battle of Neuve Chapelle. Ordered to advance on enemy trenches, his company found themselves severely hampered by an unbroken entanglement of barbed wire with a continuous stream of enemy machine gun fire. Without hesitation, Harry and his friend Corporal Noble rushed forward and began to cut the wires. They had almost completed the task when Harry sustained a wound in the leg and then Noble was shot in the chest. Despite his own wound, Harry dragged his friend into the comparative safety of a shell hole until they were able to get back to their own lines. Sadly, Noble died of his wounds a few days later. Harry was evacuated to hospital in Hammersmith. It was while he was there that he had discovered that he had been awarded the Victoria Cross for his actions on March the 12th. Astonishingly, he only heard about it when he read it in a newspaper. Corporal Noble also received a posthumous VC for the same action, and their joint citation referred to, quote, most conspicuous bravery. The VC was presented to him by the King at Buckingham Palace just 2 months after the action, and a few weeks later he came back to Norwich, where he was greeted as the hero he was and presented with a purse of gold at a civic ceremony. In addition to the awards, he became a commissioned officer in July before returning to duty in France in 1916, where he was awarded the Military Cross, again for rescuing a wounded colleague. In addition to the VC and the MC, he was also twice mentioned in dispatches. After being wounded again, he was given responsibility for training, both in fitness and the use of bayonets, and he also travelled to the USA as part of the 1918 British military mission, designed to strengthen cooperation between the two countries. After the war, he remained in the army at Aldershot, where he was subsequently Assistant Provost Marshal, effectively responsible for discipline, retiring in 1930. In retirement, he moved into the hospitality business, managing a hotel in Essex. He must have missed the military life because 3 years later he rejoined as a recruiting officer, being promoted to lieutenant colonel the following year. He continued in this role right through to 1942, when he retired again and became manager of the Grand Theatre and Opera House in Leeds. In 1953, he was invited to attend the Queen's coronation, but suffered a heart attack and died in a Leeds hospital on his 69th birthday, in December that year. He had asked that his ashes should be scattered over the cricket ground in Aldershot. An army colleague described him as, quote, "a born leader, gay, light-hearted and very brave, and terrified me out of my life. I can still remember his cheerful grin on all occasions. He was a fine athlete, and a fighter was everything a young officer could want." It's no surprise that in Wyndham his memory is honoured, not just with a road named Harry Daniels Close, but also with a commemorative stone placed by the town's war memorial.
Thank you, Richard.